as soon as it was born, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should be fed, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly unto the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a times, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ. Let's pray here this morning together. Father, we pray this morning that you'd give us a victory by the precious blood of the Lamb. I plead the covering of the blood of Jesus. We count it as precious, as divine, as holy, as victorious. Lord God, we realize that our victory is at that place called Calvary, at Mount Golgotha. My God, that is where the victory over Satan, over the deceiver, over the liar, over the dragon, over the serpent, over the seducer. Lord God, we won a victory against the accuser of the brethren by the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed at Calvary. My God, this is all of our salvation. We look to the precious blood of the Lamb this morning. And my God, this church, I pray, O God, will you stir up faith this morning, that in that this last day we would win a victory against the accuser of the brethren. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message here this morning, the blood of Jesus and the last days. I'm hearing reports from all across the world, all across Britain, that pastors, preachers, and church leaders in this hour have no message for the church. What a crisis hour. What a shame upon the ministry. You see, I'm hearing the reports back from many different countries that entire churches do not know the hour they are living in. They do love Jesus. They walk in the simplicity of faith, but through a lack of biblical preaching, through a lack of expounding the prophecies of Scripture, and a lack of the ministry in the pulpit preparing God's people for this hour in the previous years, do you know what? We have come to the crisis age of all ages. We have come to an hour where everything is about to happen, and yet the church is not ready. Where were her prophets? Where were the shepherds? Where were the watchmen? Where were the men who actually taught and knew the word of God? What a crisis. We are living in a famine, because never has there been more exposure of Christianity on television, then mega ministries, then online messages, more access to preaching and teaching. And yet never has the church been less prepared for the hour that we have now come to. That's why I want to preach this message. For many years, I wondered how God was going to change the church and prepare her for the last days. I knew the church of the 20th century would not be the church of the 21st century. I knew God was going to do a work. The Bible stays the same. Doctrine stays the same. Truth stays the same. The order of the church always stays the same, generation unto generation. But I assure you, a church that's going to meet a certain set of circumstance has to be prepared by the Spirit of God. I believe in coming to Revelation chapter 12. There is a mighty truth, a central truth here, that the church of this hour, I mean for this year, I mean for this very moment in time, a church that's facing a certain set of events in the world, in the nations, in legislation, in our schools, in our cities. This is an utterly unique hour. We've never had an hour like this. And I assure you, we need an utterly unique church. We need a real church again. We need the church that I see in Bible prophecy. And church, I want to tell you here, there is a church revealed in Scripture that's going to be living in this hour. The Bible has much to say to it, much teaching for it, and much exhortation of what it is to be in this very last hour. Jesus taught much about the signs of the time, about that short period just before the last days. He gave many signs. He taught them accurately in order to give a time frame to make us wake up and see the hour is upon us. And yet the church sleeps and slumbers while we see all of the signs fulfilled around us. Here this morning, the blood of Jesus and the last days. I believe this teaching on the blood of Jesus is the central truth. It is going to be the most vital truth, and yet the church is asleep. One of the biggest churches in Ireland, a Pentecostal born-again church, one of the biggest ones, I won't mention where, but many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, the worship leader came to me and he talked to me. As a young man, he was just saved 3 years and they put him in the worship team of that church. He told me that every Monday morning, he rushed down to the local Christian bookshop. He got the latest CD of music and worship. He got the greatest hit, the top 10, and he brought it to our church the following week. He says, Brother Keith, he said, in that 3 years, I didn't know one single song on the blood of Jesus Christ. It wasn't until I left that church that I began to see their songs about the precious blood of the Lamb. One of the biggest churches with a reputation, with all the money, with all the people sitting there. And yet the blood was not central. God help us that a Pentecostal church can be like that. A born again church. A church that says it's ready to meet Christ, and yet they know nothing about the blood of Jesus. Do you realize the devil does not fear a people or an individual or a preacher that knows nothing about the blood of Jesus? Again with me in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 11, it says, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I've got three simple points for you in this Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to carry on in more detail next week. But I want to show you and teach you something from Revelation 12, and I've never taught this and applied this, but I believe it's a vital chapter for this hour. I believe it's for us in this hour. I believe this is why I haven't even been able to preach on this or have liberty to teach on it even before, because I believe it's got an importance for this hour and this time. I've got 3 points here, and my first point from this chapter is a prophecy for this hour. I believe Revelation 12 is for us now. We must hear what is being spoken in Revelation 12. We must have a basic understanding. The day for not understanding Bible prophecy has long gone. If you do not understand the hour that you live in, you will not be ready to be the church of the 21st century. We must know the hour, and we must also know what it is that we are to do. Revelation chapter 12 is a prophecy for this hour that we are living in right now. The spiritual background and the stage to the rise of the beast, the Antichrist system, in Revelation chapter 13 is the previous chapter, chapter 12. I believe that chapter 12 reveals to us the heavenly, spiritual, and hidden warfare just before Revelation 13, before the rise of Antichrist, his revealing, before the manifestation of the last world government that's going to affect politics, economy, religion in our world. I believe Revelation 12 reveals what is happening in the heavens above us. There is an unseen spiritual warfare before chapter 13 comes into play. In this chapter, Revelation 12, 6 times we read the word great. 5 times it's the word great, and 1 time it's translated as the word loud. We read in verse 1 of a great wonder, in verse 3 and verse 9 of a great dragon, in verse 12 of a great wrath, in verse 14 of wings of a great eagle, and again verse 10, a loud voice or a great voice. 6 times we read this vital word great. This chapter reveals things that are important to see. These 6 greats in this chapter reveal that there are things that are happening spiritually before the fulfillment of last days, before the mark of the beast, before Antichrist comes on the scene, before the manifestation of a world government. There are great things that those who have spiritual discernment cannot miss. And when it says they are great, it's impossible to miss it. It is so obvious. God is making it so visible unto us. You see, in chapters 12 to 14, we have a complete prophecy here. It is a continuous prophecy, but chapter 12 is the lead into it. We have some of the main characters who will take center stage during the period known as the Great Tribulation. But before we come to that, in chapter 12, we have a vision of what happens just before that time. I believe that we are going to approach that hour where there is a spiritual warfare going on, and there's going to be a church that knows how to overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. But saints, my first point, a prophecy for the hour. I want you to see that Revelation 12 is a prophecy for this hour. In verse 1, we read of a wonder. And again in verse 3, we read of a wonder. What is a wonder? It is a sign or a symbol. In other words, in these 2 verses, showing us that it is prophecy. It's predicting a certain hour. John the Apostle was shown 2 great wonders in the heavens. And these 2 great wonders, and I want to explain them to you, that you might know the context of this chapter. They were 2 great wonders. A wonder is a sign or a symbol. It represents something. In other words, it is not as it's depicted, but it represents something. It says there in verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Let's look for a moment at this first wonder. And please see with me, this is not on the earth. This is not happening yet. What's being revealed in chapter 12? Something that is happening in the heavens. Something spiritual. Something from God's perspective. This is actually something that's going to begin in chapter 13. But in chapter 12, it is being revealed. It is being depicted in symbolic, prophetic language. There was a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Notice here that she is literally clothed with the sun of the heaven. Second of all, the moon is under her feet. And third of all, upon her head is a crown of 12 stars. Now who is this woman who is represented by the sun, the moon, and the stars? A crown of 12 stars. Some people think this is a church, but I do not believe this is a church. I believe this woman represents the nation of Israel. Let me prove it here on 3 points. First of all, I believe the symbols in this vision prove that it is Israel. But you'll remember Joseph's vision or dream of the night concerning his mother, his father, and his brethren. Do you remember that? In Genesis 37 and 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me or bowed down before me. When he shared that, all of his brothers knew that he was speaking about them. His father knew that he was speaking about him. What does the sun, the moon, and the stars represent? It represents the nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham, the physical nation of Israel, of Jacob and his family. That's the only other time, apart from Revelation 12, that we have these symbols identified together in prophetic language. And here we have a direct application. It's speaking about Israel in the last days, a rebirth nation, a people gathered in from all nations. They're back in the land. That is the prophetic context of this. Notice it well, it says in verse 2, and she being with child, travailing with birth and pained to be delivered. Then in verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Who is the man-child that one day, very soon, is going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron? It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the man-child is a prophetic vision. It represents a certain person and a coming kingdom that's going to come on the earth. Notice this woman gave birth to the child. We know that the church is the bride of Christ, but we know that Jerusalem is the actual mother that births forth the people of God. And we see this, that this woman in this vision, Israel as a nation, she is known for having given birth to a man child, a man boy, a child that was a boy, who one day is going to rule over all the nations. But notice in Revelation 12, he's not on the earth. He's not there with his mother. He is caught up to heaven. Where is he in this prophecy? He is in heaven. The man child that was born of Israel, that one day is going to rule all nations, is now caught up to the throne of God. Also, the woman in this prophecy, we see that in the years following, she is going to become the first and primary target of Satan. In other words, Satan is going to unleash literally all hell against her. That's the first wonder that we see in the heavens. Let me show you the second wonder in verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. I want to show you here that we are seeing the context prophetically, invisibly, heavenly, of something that is about to begin to happen. In verse 3, we see one called the Red Dragon. Who is the Red Dragon? In this chapter, he is also called the Serpent. This dragon is the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden. In verse 9, it says the great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent. He is called an old serpent because he's the same serpent that came against Eve. Here we have him in the very last of the last days depicted as a dragon who is going to be cast out of heaven. Look what he's called, the devil, Satan, he that deceiveth the whole world. He was cast onto the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Do you know this casting out of heaven begins the time of the tribulation? Do you realize it's talking about an hour before the tribulation, before last days, before the Antichrist, before the last world government? We actually see here a vision, a revelation of what's happening in the heavens above us. Look how the devil himself is depicted in this vision, or in this prophecy given here. He is a great red dragon. Notice what he looks like, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. If you remember what we covered in Daniel chapter 2 and again in Daniel chapter 7, we saw that the Roman Empire in its revived last days, when it is rebirthed again as a political, economic and religious system, how are you going to recognize it? By its 7 heads and its 10 horns. Yet here in Revelation 12, we're not looking at a revived Roman Empire. We're not looking at world government. We are looking at a person. We're looking at the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan himself, as a individual person. And you know what he's depicted like? Like a great red dragon. He has 7 heads and he has 10 horns. And those heads are crowned. Remember what we looked at on Wednesday night, how the crowns were, the horns were crowned. But here in this prophecy, it is the 7 heads that have crowns upon them. Do you know what we're looking at? Symbolized here in Revelation 12 is the hostility of Satan against God's kingdom, God's nation, God's people. We are seeing a person here waging, making war, which he's done in every generation. This is the last spiritual warfare before Satan gets cast out of the heavenlies as the accuser of the brethren. Who does he accuse? The church, individual Christians. Do you realize the devil is the accuser of the brethren? Do you realize day and night he accuses you at the throne of God? Do you realize he stands before God and he makes accusations against you, both true and false? You know what we're seeing in Revelation 12 is a time when God brings that to an end. This is the last spiritual warfare before Satan heals the wound of that political beast, that Roman beast, before he heals the 7th head, resurrects this political system and empowers it to be the last world government. This Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, has to get cast out of heaven before he empowers that beast. Do you hear me? I'm talking about a prophecy for our hour. I'm telling you of something spiritual that happens. I'm telling you of a prophecy that is depicting something remarkable here in an amazing way. I'm telling you of something that's going to happen before the initiation of last days. I'm telling you of Satan being in the heavenlies cast down. There is a prophecy in Revelation 12 that says there's an hour and a time before he empowers the beast, the last world government, before this political beast arises with its seven heads, its healed head, the seventh head of government, of authority, of power, of its rule, of the time of its reign. Before that happens, something happens where Satan and his angels, the dragon, the serpent, gets cast out of heaven onto the earth. We're actually told in this prophecy that he comes down knowing his time is short. He is given 1260 days or 3.5 years or 42 months. All that we read about in Daniel as well. Notice here, this is a prophecy for our day. You might say, well, I'm not going to be here during the tribulation. I want to tell you, in Revelation chapter 12, we are seeing the church that is going to exist. And I want to pull out one simple scripture here to show you there is a church doing something, believing something, walking in something, active in something that's going to affect our world. I want to show you here that this is a prophecy that we must take heed to in this day and this hour. You see, I know according to this prophecy that there is something going to happen that will lead to Satan being cast onto the earth, and that when he does, all the Bible prophecy concerning these last few moments of time is going to be fulfilled. Saints, I believe this is a chapter that is greatly ignored. I believe the church is ignorant of it. And yet it's so vital. In chapter 13 and verse 2, we read there of a beast rising up out of the sea. This will be the last world government, which Satan himself shall empower. And he's going to heal the seventh head, or the last form of government, and raise up 10 great world leaders. That's what Satan is going to do. But look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. What was it like? A leopard. And his feet were like that of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Notice here that this last Roman beast is very similar to the three previous empires of Babylon, which is the lion. Remember Daniel chapter 7 again. The bear, which is Medo-Persia. The leopard, which was Greece. Here, this last world government, we're going to see when it comes about, it's got all of the parts of the previous kingdoms. In other words, all of these kingdoms come down to us in this last world government. It says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. In other words, their power, their right to rule the world. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time until the last beast is judged. Do you realize the Babylonian kingdom, Iraq, is still here? The Medo-Persian Empire, the Iranian kingdom, it still lives on. The Grecian influence, the whole Grecian way of thinking, it still remains here. I believe Revelation 12 depicts something that we are facing right now. It's an hour where Satan, as the accuser of the brethren, is about to be cast down before the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You never hear anyone teach us. I want to tell you, you can search commentaries and you'll have commentators barely mention this. It is such a remarkable thing that men do not know what to do with it. And I've held back from preaching on this because it seems so remarkable that something is going to happen where Satan is going to be cast down on the earth before all of this comes to pass, what is accurately told to us. That's my first thing, is a prophecy for the hour. I believe there's something depicted here you've got to know. You've got to know before we face this year and the decade of the 2020s, I believe it's going to be important for you to know, in reference to the church, in reference to our calling, in reference to our ministry, in reference to the message that we preach, you've got to know that there's a prophecy in Revelation 12 that depicts Satan being cast down from heaven. That's my first point. My second point, spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. It says in Revelation 12 verse 7, and there was war in heaven. It's actually talking about a war in the heavens. It's unseen. It's angelic. It's invisible. It's not happening on the earth. As a result of this warfare, everything is going to change on the earth. It actually happens before many of the events prophesied in the Bible. It is a war in the heavenlies. It is a war that's going to rage in the heavens above us. It is a war unseen to the human eye. And yet we're prophesied about it. It is told in specific language that there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. We read here about an actual war that is yet to take place. It hasn't taken place. Of course, it's happened many times in history. If you go back in your Bible to the Old Testament, you will actually read in Daniel that when one kingdom was about to be replaced by another kingdom, there is this same warfare. In other words, with the rise of kings and kingdoms and the removal of kings and kingdoms, unseen to us, often unfelt by us, we don't realize there is a war raging in heaven. The church is often utterly ignorant of it, and yet they're caught up in it. What happens there happens on the earth in the church, and yet we're ignorant of what's going on here. We read of a spiritual warfare that's going to be happening, raging over the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, in the last generation before all the Bible prophecy is fulfilled. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Notice here the warfare. It's between Michael and the dragon, and fallen angels and elect angels. This is unseen to us, and yet it's going to be a very real warfare happening in the heavens. Since I believe it's the hour that we're living in and the time that we're entering into is going to be one of the most horrendous spiritual times of spiritual conflict. I believe this is a warfare that's going to determine what's going to happen on the earth. It's going to mean the end of kingdoms and the rise of kingdoms. I believe it's going to change the face of politics, of economics, of social life in our world. I believe the consequences are terrible concerning this spiritual warfare. Two spiritual kingdoms set in intense battle, and yet the church is asleep in this hour. It's going to decide the fate of 8 billion people in our world, and yet the church is playing games, entertaining, and knows nothing about Bible prophecy. While they're carrying on as life is normal, there is a war raging intensely in this hour. Do you not feel it? Do you not realize there is an intense battle? You see, in the Old Testament, every time a new king came to power, it had happened in the midst of great spiritual influence and conflict, which most people never seen. The true spiritual conflict of these days is happening in the heavens above us. We see the result in politics. We see the result in America in this hour. We see it happening. Do you not think, with what's happened in our world, with this lockdown, do you not think there's a spiritual power behind that? Behind trying to vaccinate the entire population of the world, do you not realize there's a spiritual power in behind that? with Trump being replaced by Biden. Don't you know that there's a heavenly warfare going on? Saints, I'm telling you, the church doesn't realize the intensity of the battle for the future of our world. It sleeps, it neglects righteousness, and it knows very little of the power of Jesus' blood. Revelation chapter 12 depicts this warfare in a vision. The spiritual powers behind all of history are set in warfare, one against the other. It is a heavenly and a spiritual warfare that will change the destiny of our world. The rise and the fall of nations, wars amongst nations, the change in politics, social behavior, the music realm, Hollywood, all of these realms are being influenced and directed by spiritual power. And little does the church realize how important our prayer lives, our lives of prayer, our heart cries to God are caught up in this. In verse 7 to 8, we have war in heaven. Michael fighting the angels. And you know what the end result is? Michael prevails against Lucifer. And it says, look at verse 8, and he prevailed not. The dragon did not prevail. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Before the empowerment of the last world government, this battle is going to be won. Do you hear me? There is a spiritual war of Michael prevailing against the dragon before the last world government, with its 7 heads and 10 horns, rises on the scene of time before the revealing of Antichrist. This spiritual battle is waging. I mean, a ferocious battle in the unseen realm. You see, Satan, we know he already fell. We go into scripture and we read of several different falls of Satan. If you go back to Ezekiel chapter 28, we read there of Lucifer, designed to ascend into the hill of the Lord, to be like the Most High, to steal the throne of God. That was Lucifer. When sin, pride, first entered his heart, you know what we're told about is the fall of Satan. He was cast out. In other words, he was removed from that position of being the covering cherub, of leading the worship of heaven. He was cast out, removed from his position. His anointing was taken from him. He was no longer filled with the wisdom of God. Do you know Jesus speaking about this in Luke 10, 17? And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Do you know Christ saw Satan fall through pride? And he was saying, be careful of pride. Be careful of pride. Do you know it was pride that had Satan cast out of his position in heaven? Since there was a first fall of Lucifer. He fell from his position. He fell from his calling. He fell from a place of holiness. And Christ saw that. The Son of God was there when he saw it, and he said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That was Satan's first fall. And you know what? Next we find him as a serpent in the garden deceiving Eve. What a fall. From leading the worship in heaven to being a serpent in the garden. What a fall. I tell you, it's a tragic thing when you begin to see what a man could lose, never mind what Lucifer could lose. That was the first great fall. The second great fall is what we find in Revelation chapter 12. He's going to be cast out of heavens. Do you know what he's called now? The prince of the power of the air. That is his position. He is actually called the prince of the air, of the atmosphere around our world. He is called the ruling prince of that dimension, and his kingdom reigns there with an ordered system. But you know what? In Revelation 12, something happens after 2,000 years of this war being waged against the church. Something is going to happen. A victory is won, and he is cast down onto the earth for a period of 3.5 years. And then finally, at the end of that time, we're read about another fall. He is cast into the abyss, or the pit. What is the pit in Revelation 20? It's a temporary prison for Lucifer, for the dragon, for the serpent. As a person, he's going to get cast into the pit. And then at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we're told he gets cast into the lake of fire. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a spiritual warfare that's waging now in the heavens between God's angels and the angels of Satan. Do you know that for 6,000 years, Satan has been the accuser of the brethren? When we go to the Old Testament, we find Job. And in the days of Job, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and forth in all the earth, and walking up and down. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Do you know, for 6,000 years, Satan has been the accuser of the brethren. What did he say about Job? Just you let me touch him and he'll curse you. I know he will. God was boasting in Job. And yet here's Lucifer accusing him, saying he won't be faithful. He won't walk uprightly. He's going to curse you. He's got no integrity. This is the battle that's waging around us. Saints, I'm showing you a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. And it's going to be fulfilled just before all of end days comes to pass. What is it? Satan, Lucifer's going to be cast down onto the earth. He's going to be removed from his position of accusing the brethren. He'll have no more access to heaven. Do you realize for 6,000 years he has had access to the throne room of God? Not as a worship leader, but as an accuser. He goes to God to accuse the brethren. Do you know what? All of you, he has stood and accused you of sin. He's reminded God they sinned. They have pride in their heart. They said this. They're neglecting this. Do you realize there is an accuser that has stood there for 6,000 years, 2,000 years of church history? You know what Paul writes in Ephesians 6 and 12? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen to me before I finish this message. I believe the church of this hour in 2021 needs to realize we're involved in a spiritual battle. Before there's a removal of Belshazzar and Cyrus comes in, before there's a removal of the Medo-Persian Empire and Alexander the Great comes in, do you realize this war has waged in the heavenlies? It has always waged, but there's always been a people of God in that hour who knew how to pray and who influenced that battle. I mean a people who knew how to wrestle. I'm not wrestling against Biden, I want to tell you. I'm not wrestling with Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset. I expose it, I speak about it, but my wrestle is not against flesh and blood. Do you realize the World Economic Forum, the UN, the EU, and now the new American government? Do you realize the spiritual powers that are behind them affecting our world? Have you heard over the past 2 weeks what Biden is releasing into the nation of America? He's just got two transsexuals, religious people, giving prayers a blessing. He has opened the floodgate on abortion. He has opened the door of immorality. He is destroying the economy. That is one man in a nation. Don't tell me that's natural. Don't tell me that there in America, that hell itself The deceiver, the dragon, has come forth to mock the church. This is an attack on the church, and we're in the last of the last days. You know what? We need to know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Saints, you're not fighting politicians, political parties. You're not fighting against institution or media. Behind the media, the politicians, the institution, and the laws that are coming down is a spiritual warfare. You see, I believe this warfare is waging. We are coming down to the end days. There are many prophecies which have not yet come to pass, but they are just about to. But between now and then, there is the most horrendous heavenly spiritual warfare. Third and finally, saints, I'm just laying this out, and we're going to come back to this next week, but I want you to see it's a prophecy for our hour that we are caught up in a great warfare. Satan, there's a prophecy that says that the great dragon, Satan himself, listen to me, not one of his fallen angels, not a demon, Satan himself is going to get cast onto the earth. As a result of this warfare, something is going to happen where he gets displaced and he'll never be able to accuse the brethren again. We actually live in the last hour of the accuser of the brethren. Do you not think that battle is going to be intense to remove him from a position of pointing the finger at the church? Do you not think the warfare is going to be intense? Do you not think the church is going to feel this on the earth? The voice of the accuser, of a hatred, of a venom coming against the church, where you as an individual and we as a church are going to be accused by the accuser of the brethren because he's just about to be displaced. I believe one of the greatest hours of accusation, of slander, is going to hit the church in this hour. I believe we're there. Saints, are you ready for it? Do you know how to stand in this hour? Are you able to confront it? Will you come out the other end? Will you be caught up to meet the Lord victorious by the grace and the mercy of God? Are you going to be a victim of this spiritual warfare? You see, many in the church do not realize we're in a war. They do not realize how to fight. They do not realize what it entails. My third and final point here this morning. Victory by the blood of the Lamb. I believe that in this hour, if you understand Revelation 12, you're going to realize there's something of prophecy about to happen. Satan is going to be cast down. Secondly, you're going to realize that we are entering into a time of maybe the most intensive spiritual warfare that has ever happened in world history. The entire world is about to change. Don't tell me the battle in prayer is not going to be intense and the war raging around the church isn't going to be intense. But third and finally, victory by the blood. Let me hear this morning, and I'll carry on with this next week. I want to show you that the central message of Revelation 12, as we come down to the last days, is the message of the blood of the Lamb. There is a victory. Michael's warfare in the heavenlies is actually connected to our victory through the blood of Jesus. I want you here, although they're two separate dimensions, I want you to see that all this converges. Satan is cast down. Michael and his angels prevail against Satan. But third and finally, the church rises up to overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of these three things happen at the same time. They converge together. And when they come together, saints, the most remarkable thing happens of this iron generation. Look at verse 10 with me. Victory by the blood. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice, or a great voice, saying in heaven. Do you see the voices of this hour? This is a voice from heaven. We've already had the voice of the accuser. But where is the voice of the church in this hour? I believe we have three voices here that are going to converge on a certain hour. A voice from heaven, a voice from Satan, and a voice from the church. Listen, this voice from heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. Then to a bit further here, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Notice the voice from heaven. Now is salvation come. Now is strength. Do you realize why heaven is rejoicing? Because the accuser of the brethren has been cast out and he'll never be listened to again. His ministry, his calling as the accuser of you and I is all over. I'm going to tell you, heaven, the angels of heaven are going to rejoice. There's going to be a loud cry from heaven. There's going to be a voice that no one is going to be able to ignore. Now is come salvation. Saints, aren't you longing for it? Aren't you longing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you desiring to gaze upon the face of Jesus? Why is heaven rejoicing? The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Heaven is crying aloud. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Do you see the rejoicing of heaven itself, of the angels, of all of creation, saying, yes, yes, the accuser of our brethren. Do you realize all the saints that have gone before us? Do you realize Job is up there saying, yes, yes, I got buffeted. I was accused. He accused me. He attacked me. He falsely accused me. But you know what? I'm rejoicing with the saints upon the earth. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame. I want you to see something here. Thirdly and finally, I believe this is a church of the last hour. I believe this is a church that understands Bible prophecy. I believe this is a church that is feeling the intensity of spiritual warfare in this hour. I believe it's a church that Satan is right now accusing. Lord, allow this to come against them. And they'll deny you. If you allow them to suffer, they'll deny you. If you take away their liberties, they'll deny you. Saints, what an hour. This hour, as we watch legislation change, we need to be the church of God. If you're there listening this message afterwards, and you're saying, where is God in all of this? You need to be very, very careful in this hour. Where is God? Why is God letting this happen? Why are our kids having to face this? You need to be extremely careful. It is the accuser of the brethren. And do you know what the answer is? They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Saints, I've got a cure for this hour. Biden isn't my enemy. The institution of the UN isn't my enemy. I am fighting a spiritual warfare against a real devil. And you know what? He's accusing the church. He's accusing you. He's accusing me. Here he is called the accuser. Who is it who's going to get cast down? The accuser in verse 10. Do you know what that word accuser means? One who brings a charge against you. It's one who goes to the court of law and uses legislation against you. It is one who tries to use the legal system against you. It is a legal and official term, the accuser of the brethren. Do you realize that Satan, for 6,000 years, he attempts to use the law of God, the promises of God, the teaching of Scripture against you, to find fault, to blame you, to point out your sins? Do you realize that Satan himself knows the Bible better than most Christians? He'll tell you what is right and wrong. That world out there will tell you that it's wrong for a Christian to drink alcohol. The worst sinner out there that's never read a Bible, they know a Christian should not drink alcohol. And yet we have multitudes in the church who say there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine. You know what? That devil knows the Bible better than you. That devil knows when you're acting or speaking with pride and arrogance. The devil knows when you're playing the hypocrite. He is the accuser of the brethren. He'll blame you. He'll find fault against you. But he'll also falsely charge you. He'll say, you'll deny God in this next trial. You won't be able to stand. Do you know who's behind that voice? It is the devil. He misrepresents and he twists. The name devil in verse 9, the Greek word is diabolos. It means false accuser. He's not only the accuser of the brethren, he is a false accuser. Never become a false accuser of someone else. When you make an accusation and you don't have facts, when you accuse them of things when they're not guilty of it, you know what you're doing? You're doing the job of Satan. It's not wrong to accuse, but it is wrong to accuse wrongly. This word devil means to throw or to hurl. Verbal assault against an individual. In other words, he opens up his mouth and he pours it out against an individual. Do you know what I believe is happening in this hour? And it's going to sweep the nations quickly this year and in the years to come, and if the Lord should tarry. Do you know what's going to happen? There is a flood of accusation going to be poured out on the church. Do you realize political systems are going to turn on the church and begin to accuse it? And do you realize Satan is going to come in like a flood to accuse individual Christians? But what does the Bible say? What happens before Satan is cast down? What happens before Michael and his angels prevail against the dragon and cast him out of heaven? What happens before that point? Saints, I'm telling you the Bible. I'm telling you what Bible prophecy says. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Why is he cast down? Because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Do you realize the church of the last days of our time of this day? Do you realize something is about to happen in our world? Something is going to happen to provoke that church to get the victory over the accuser of the brethren. Something is about to be unleashed in our world that's going to stir that church to go back to the blood of Jesus. I mean with an almighty prayer, with a prevailing intercession. I mean the church is going to rise up and begin to preach the blood, sing the blood, pray the blood, plead the blood. Saints, it's an hour for the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe this is a missing message, what I'm telling you here, concerning the blood of Jesus Christ and the last church generation. It actually says that they overcame the accuser. You see, the spiritual battle in the heavenlies is connected to the warfare in the church on the earth. If you find a godly man or godly woman on the earth, that battle is affected by the heavenly battle between the powers of darkness and the powers of God. Michael and his angels are going to war in heaven, but there is a people on the earth who overcome the accuser of the brethren. Saints, it has to be this hour. It has to be this hour and generation. You see, I believe something is going to happen. We've seen the media get hijacked. We've seen laws coming in over the past year. We're just about to brace ourselves on legislation concerning vaccines, on flying, on meeting together. We're about to have a terrible attack on the church. It's going to be verbal. It's going to be false accusation. It's going to make us the most demonized people on the face of the earth, while they have all these queers and all these transvestites being put into positions of power. They're not even 1% of the population, yet they're being given positions of power to make legislation while they're being exalted. Do you not know that there's going to come a great accusation? But there's going to be a church who gets the victory. The Bible says they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of Jesus Christ. The word conquer Our victory there, our triumph, is the word Nikeo. In other words, it means there's an intense battle. Why would the church get a victory over the accuser of the brethren? Because they enter into an unbelievable warfare. Do you realize that there's some things you neglect until it's all you have? Do you realize there's some things you take lightly and use occasionally unless it becomes a matter of life and death? Do you know God is going to allow something to happen in our world to bring the church back to the blood of Jesus again? The real church is a blood-washed church. We're redeemed by the blood, justified by the blood, sprinkled by the blood, sanctified by the blood, made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. It's faith in the blood of Jesus. Where is it being preached in this hour? Church, we have to come back to the blood of Jesus. It's got to be our daily plea. It's got to be the message we preach. It's got to be in our songs again. We've got a church that's lost. It's turned to deliverance ministry, inner healing, breaking of curses, all manners of counseling. You know why? They've lost the message of the blood of Jesus. They don't know how to overcome the devil anymore. The church is filled with people with emotional, mental problems. You know why? You've never learned the power that's in Jesus' blood. I've never seen a generation like our generation. And I'm not talking about genuine damage to the brain. I mean an entire generation that's got emotional, mental problems. Everybody's got depression. Everybody's on tablets. Everybody's going for counseling. I assure you, we are living in a vital hour. The word Nikeo is used 28 times in the New Testament. 24 of those times is used by John the Apostle. 24 times by him, and he is the one writing in Revelation chapter 12 concerning what is just about to happen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who do they overcome? They overcome the accuser of the brethren, the serpent, the dragon, the deceiver, the liar, the one who comes to falsely accuse, the one who comes to buffet the church. Do you realize we are in an hour where a people, they're not fighting flesh and blood. They're not fighting men and political parties and institutions. They're going to rise up by the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the Lamb, and they're going to gain a victory over the evil one. Saints, I'm telling you, a church is going to go back and learn this again. The blood of Jesus Christ is where we gain a victory. This is the hour. This is the very hour where we're going to learn to plead the blood of Jesus again, to stand on the blood of Jesus, to face the devil, to resist him, and to make him to flee from us. Since it's going to be the church of this hour that so rises up to overcome the evil one. That word Nikeo means to conquer, be victorious, or prevail. Can I ask you here this morning as we close, are you prevailing against the accuser of the brethren? Is your mind an open sewer of accusations, true and false? Are you there not able to stand against the realm of accusation? Sinners accuse you of things and you fall apart. This world accuses the church of names, calls the church names. You're a racist. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You're bigoted. No, I'm not. You have no love. You know how I overcome? The blood of Jesus Christ. I assure you there's a victory. Saints, on the earth there's going to be a church that prevails. Gets the victory over Satan. I mean they're going to prevail against him on the earth. At the exact same time, Michael and his angels are winning a victory and they prevail. What a victory it is, saints. Three things come together. The church rises up and prevails by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony. Michael and his angels win, prevail against the dragon. And third of all, Satan is cast on the earth. And there is a beginning of last day's prophecy. I believe we're there. And saints, I'm telling you what this church has got to be in this hour. I'm telling you it's got to be a church that prevails by the blood of the Lamb, who knows how to confront Satan, meet him as the accuser, who knows how to meet the slander, and knows, I know what the blood says. I know I'm made righteous. I know I'm forgiven. My faith is in the blood. Saints, you need to get a victory over a personal devil that comes against you. Some of you are letting the devil trample over you. Sins of the past, besetting sins, thoughts and imaginations, and the devil is mocking you, undermining your confidence. It's time to go back to the blood of Jesus, where the blood washes you, cleanses you, where you stand perfectly righteous, where you gain a victory over Satan, and he is cast out as the accuser of the brethren. Would you pray for with me here? Can we pray for this church, for our lives, all represented in this meeting? We need a victory in this hour. What a serious hour. I believe America is just an example of what is being released out across our world. What a mockery that a man who once honored born-again Christians is replaced by a man who now honors the most perverted individuals that you can possibly find. That is the devil in that, laughing at the church, mocking, saying you'll never survive this hour. You can't live in this world. I'm going to pour out such filth. I'm going to pour out such depravity. I'm going to so change the legislation that you won't function as the church. He doesn't know who he's messing with, church. We are the church of this generation, but it won't be by your good deeds or the strength of your faith. You know what it's going to be? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I prevail. I overcome. I stand. I get the victory by the precious blood of the Lamb. Pray with me. Father, we just pray right now that you move in all of our hearts. We want this to be a blood-washed church. We want to gain a victory over the accuser of the brethren. I pray for my friends this morning, nor God any that are battling, nor God with past sins, Lord God with besetting sins, with false accusation, with slander, with the devil who says they cannot stand, that they're not going to come through the trials. My God, I pray, we plead the blood this morning. Would you give us the victory by the precious blood of the Lamb? My God, I pray there be a casting down of the accuser of the brethren, that we're going to prevail, gain the victory, triumph, arise, O God. Father, I pray for the stirring of the hearts, that we're going to gain a victory in this hour. Will you wash your church afresh in the blood of the Lamb? Would you raise up a church, Lord God, for this spiritual warfare, this hour of unparalleled spiritual conflict? Will you show us that we're not fighting men, presidents, politicians, we're not fighting institutions, but Lord God, we're fighting a spiritual battle that's going to affect 8 billion people upon this world. Lord God, I pray, aliven us, make us aware that there is going to be a church on this earth that's going to shine in this hour. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we have just a few people here pray just before we close? Saints, let's prevail. Let's lay hold of the precious blood of the Lamb. Don't let the devil kick you around. Go back to the blood of Jesus again. We are a blood-washed church. We are a church that believes in the blood of the Lamb. I am justified by faith alone, in the blood alone, by grace alone. Stand by that grace. Just let's have a couple of people lead us. Saints, we need to fight this morning. You need to get up and fight here this morning. Begin to fight. Fight for your family. Fight for the church of God in this hour. We are in a real warfare. And you know what? The devil thinks he's going to swipe the church away in this hour. No courage, no ability to stand, no voice in the world. We are in a serious warfare, and we've got to learn, I do have a way to win the victory. I'm not going to go and fight our prime minister. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plead the blood, because you know what? It's not these men. It's not Biden. He's a human face. I assure you, there are powers. There is a dragon. There is a serpent. And you are caught up in this. You are caught up in this terrible warfare in this hour. But get on your knees. Seek the Lord. See this day. I tell you, gain a victory. If you have any sense of guilt this morning, any condemnation, any battle with the devil, he is slandering, accusing, go lift your Bible and say, the Bible says, stand on the authority of heaven, resist the evil one, and he'll flee from you. He is a buffeter. He is a liar. He's a deceiver. He put sickness on Job's body. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. Job began to think this is God. It wasn't God. It's a real devil that says, you know what? He'll deny you. He'll lose his integrity. Let's just have a few pray here before we close this morning.